Let's open that service with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. A day that you set aside for us to be able to concentrate and remember the things that you have done for us. Not just for this past week or past year, but even for our whole lives. We realize, Father, that you are our Creator, that you love your creation and you love us. You sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to die for us, to establish a church that we can come and worship you and to work through it and to do the good things that you would have us to do. And we're grateful for you this day. And as we worship you, Father, we pray that we'll do so in a manner be pleasing in thy sight. We ask you to bless those that are sick, cannot be here, those that are shut in. We ask you to comfort those that have lost loved ones, Father. We ask you to help us, Father, to look to you for our strength, for our health. Father, we ask you to keep us whole in your sight. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Go with us now through the rest of this service, throughout the day, throughout our lives, Father, and help us always to look to you for guidance. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Folks, to number 419. 419. Air. your room this morning.
Did you think to pray
in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sit for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, in life. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 383. 383, we will sing verse 2, 3, and then 4. I mean 1.
Help us, Lord, Thy
Heavenly Fathers, we gather around this table this morning. Let us keep in our mind that Jesus unselfishly came to this earth and died for our sins. As we partake of this bread, which represents that broken body, may we partake of it in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, which represents that precious blood that was shed for us. Again, Father, we pray that who partake of it do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for each and every blessing that you give us. And Father, we're grateful that we can be here today. Father, we pray that the money collected here today will do much good. And Father, we're grateful for the jobs and opportunities you give us each and every day. Pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning. Today is August 30th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 454. 454 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 361. 361. There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready for the judgment?
bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day?
The judgment day, we find ourselves at conflict sometimes, because Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. God and life are coexistent, and the plan of God for us to live life in the fullest was what Jesus said there in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He noted for us to be people who really enjoy life. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. He noted regarding the thieves that come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. When God has His way with our labor walk of life, we find ourselves walking in ways that are truthful with others. That's a positive thing. Fair with others, that's a positive thing. Hopeful for others, that's a positive thing. Sharing with others life experiences, that's a positive gain. No harm at all involved in those particular matters that are good and helpful and righteous in their ways. On the other side of the coin, if we go out to life and we decide that there are certain ways of life that we'll tell lies and falsehoods, then we ultimately have guilt from that, and ultimately we'll be found out. We find ourselves not going out there to be people who care for others, but who hurt others, who take advantage of others. We'll find ourselves being sad about that. We'll find ourselves guilty about that, and we'll find ourselves not living the good life that He taught us He wanted us to live. We talk about this God of heaven. We're talking about living a wonderful life and how that He sent His Son so that He might tell us and teach us that way, that same way. He taught us that we would be living life and that we would be living it abundantly. As we live life from day to day, we make decisions on the basis of what's right around us. One of those particular things that is right around us is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. We begin at verse number 13 in the book of Daniel, and in reference to the kingdom of God's dear Son and what He said would be the plan. I saw in the night visions, Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts are four, which are four kings that shall arise out of the earth. For the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were as of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change things and laws. And they shall be given unto him his hand until a time, and things, and times, and dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion, and to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom, under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As far as me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. That's the reading that closes out the book of Daniel chapter 7. From verse 13 through verse 28. And there are those who come to this particular passage of Scripture, and instead of interpreting it from the standpoint of Jesus' work, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly, in reference to how to live life from day to day. After Jesus came to this earth, he came in the midst of the fourth kingdom. He came in the midst of that kingdom that was challenging God and challenging right things. And that would be at the end of that kingdom, of the 10 horns that would be there, the 10 kings that would come, there would be 3 of those kings that would be devoured by that last king that would come. So it is that we look at this from the standpoint of Jesus' ministry. But there are those who interpret this from the standpoint that this has reference to the kingdom of God. And this has reference to the kingdom of God coming and when it came, not recognizing that the kingdom of God is already here. And many of the words used here regarding the saints are the things mentioned of this kingdom. It's in Colossians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 13, actually verse 12. In Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 12, reference is made to that particular time that he spoke about here in Daniel in chapter 7. giving thanks unto the Father, Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. You see, Jesus came to present the light of God and came to give us life and that we might enjoy an abundant life in Him. These saints referred to here are saints that are part of that light. They're part of that life that is wonderful and good. And in Colossians 1 at verse 13, he says, who delivered us, this Father, he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I want to stop at this particular point to note the many things that are here mentioned that were mentioned in Daniel chapter 7 in reference to the saints and their positions and their ways of life that they would teach to others. They would teach about this Jesus who came to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. This abundant life is of the very presence of the Lord in our daily walk of life. We live to be people who are spiritually minded. And being spiritually minded in life means that the Lord has a place to occupy that is not of the flesh and in the flesh, but is in the spiritual part of our lives. We have a spirit that is eternal. We have a spirit that is eternal and will be someday sent back to God who gave it. That spirit can rest and live in an abundant way of life in membership of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Notice what he says in verse 13 about this Father. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Once we have been placed in this kingdom of God's dear Son, we're to live that way of life in a redeemed way, recognizing the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We have that not because physically we have been doing things, but because spiritually we have been inviting the Lord to come within our hearts and our lives, and to be spiritually the kind of people that we should be. He goes on to talk about this and the difference of the ways of the flesh as we read along here in Colossians chapter 1, commencing now at verse 18. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by the him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, well, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present to you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which was behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I lay also labor, striving accordingly as his working, which worketh in me mightily. What did this kingdom back there in Daniel 7 do? Dominion and power and glory might be his. It would be the people of the kingdom, the saints of the would deliver this message to people, that they could be people who honor the Lord, honor his right way, honor the good things of the Lord, and living life in abundant way as he has taught. We can live life in this way as he says. The kingdom is already here. We are part of this realm of God's great plan. The church, the ideals of being in that church, is to be a part of that church that is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it is that in our spiritual walk of life, we can be filled with the presence of the Lord, with the knowledge of his word, more and more as we take into our minds his word and his way of life to live. We practice that way of life. We teach it to a future wife that may be a part of our family. We teach it to a future husband that may be a part of our lives and our family. We teach it to those who are around us in neighborhood, that they may know about life and the abundant life to live. We live that way of life so that in the flesh, wherever suffering that we may go through, we go through it differently than others. We go through it not because we are hurt and harmed and pillaged about, but because we can ask the assistance of others to help our lives and to be spiritually minded as we go through this. As we go through this life in that way, we look for the spiritual ways to be a part of our hearts and lives and live out an abundant life, though physically we may be declining, though physically ultimately death itself may come upon us. But the fact that death comes upon us does not retard us from having the blessing hereafter and forevermore. Notice what he says here as we read along in Colossians 2 and at verse number 2. That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and into the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Notice that there's a joy that Paul says he has within himself, as he recognizes these people who are obeying the Father and the Son as they live within the reference to the body of Christ and how they're living that abundant life. He is so pleased and so joyful in that regard. He says the following in verse number 7 and 8. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. As we talk today in regard to this, what about those individuals who do not believe the kingdom is here already? They believe the kingdom is yet to come. They believe Jesus is to reign 1,000 years in that kingdom here upon this earth. And the view that they have in mind is made out of the views that they have been given and men have taught them, instead of going back to God's word and recognizing we can be translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1 at verse 13. So in this kingdom we find ourselves enjoy a wonderful relationship with God. A relationship that will lead on not only physically in this life, but more especially spiritually in this life, to heaven itself and the presence of God. And with the saints of God, we go as we have Christ within our daily walk of life. What do we have if we don't have Jesus within our daily walk of life? What hopes do we have? What kind of joy do we have? What kind of peace within do we have? What kind of hope that we have to teach others there's a better way of life that's lived in the Lord, that's one that's lived without the Lord? And we know of so many that are living life from day to day without the Lord, teaching without the Lord. As a result, where are they? Where are they at the time of death? A joy that is beyond the grave. A joy in Christ Jesus that is rewarding. Or is it the case that they some time will realize too late, the kingdom was already here? I missed the benefits of the kingdom. I missed the benefits of spiritually walking with the Lord. And when I missed the benefits of spiritually walking with the Lord, it mattered not what else I had in life to attain. I missed this, which was everything. Reason being, read it once again in Colossians 1, beginning at 15. Because I missed the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Let's live faithfully in Him. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, we bid you to come as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 in repentance and baptism into Christ. As they did there at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 when they came to be baptized into Christ with a faith in Him and a real desire to be His person. And a way in which He writes to the brethren here at Colossae about this. He wanted this letter at Colossae to be taken over to the church which was at Laodicea in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. Take this letter that it may be read among them at Laodicea, and get the letter I sent to Laodicea. Bring it back to the brethren here and read it. When we read about the congregation at Laodicea in the book of Revelation, we read a sad, sad picture. A picture, can it be described as living an abundant life? Can it be described as being joyous in life? Can it be described as going on for hope in life? The church at Laodicea was a congregation that did not have any of those things that Christ Jesus offers to the heart and lives of those who obey Him. An abundant life. That's the way God planned it. Hope it's been a blessing to you and to all those who hear by way of internet today and throughout this week and throughout the month as they talk about this particular idea of God and life and how life is so important to us spiritually. Come as we stand and as we sing together today, if you're receptive to Jesus' invitation.
Today's the day of salvation. Maybe too late. Tomorrow may be today. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be today.
you for being here today and studying with us this particular important matter, where God in the long ago made plans for to live the abundant life. And Jesus came to talk about it as he gave it to us. We wish you the very best in this week and safety in this week. James and his family, we find ourselves because they are a close family. The Cosby family is just, I can't tell you how close they are. But they are really hurt by the fact that they now have to stay in their car, even if they get to go to a graveside of a funeral service for their loved ones. Our God bless you, brother, and all your family. Thank you for being here today. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 if you can be. God bless you.
As you travel through.